It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
Hey, Scott Luton here with you live today on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. We're glad that you've chosen to join us. If you are happening to listen to this on a replay, you can always catch us live. Go to our website, supplychainnowradio.com. Click on the big red button at the top. Usually we have the next episode ready to go. It'll take you to our Listen Live player, and you can join us live. Courtesy of our great friends over at Business Radio X. So I want to thank all of our listeners. You can also find all the replays on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud. But Ashley, and I'm going to bring in my co-host, very talented co-host today, Ashley Liebke, CEO and President of Vision Media Group. We got some a special challenge for our listeners today, right?
Yes, we're going to attack the reverse logistics. And good morning, Scott and our guests. We're super excited because returns and reverse logistics is really exploding, and we're going to dive deep into it.
Very deep. And we're going to do a quick reverse first, because for our folks that may not know about our podcast on iTunes, you can subscribe. You can look up Supply Chain Now Radio. You can subscribe there or find us on SoundCloud. And you have access to all 80 of our podcast segments, webinars, you name it. So really creating a really neat community that's content driven.
Yes, we're really creating a voice for supply chain and a way to get all these great stories out with all the different companies around that are doing so many great things.
Absolutely. And we've got we're going to introduce our guests here in just a minute, because today this continues our Tech Connect series. And Ashley, you've been a wonderful collaborator on this series. You certainly know all things supply chain tech. You bring a ton of expertise to the table. And this is the fifth installment of the show, right?
Yeah, we've had some great guests. We started with Manhattan Associates, and we've delved into blockchain. We had SAP Ariba. And today we have super awesome special guests, some of my absolute favorites in our industry.
Well, so we have teased that enough. We're going to introduce our guests real quick, and then we'll talk about some of the upcoming episodes that we've got coming up. But today we're very fortunate to have Mr. Jim Brill, Marketing Manager with the Product Marketing Group with UPS, to join us. Good afternoon, Jim.
Well, good afternoon. Great to be here.
We're glad to have you. I had to double check the clock real quick. And Tony Shiroda, Executive Director with the Reverse Logistics Association. Good afternoon, Tony.
Good afternoon, Scott, and I'm honored to be here.
Glad to have you as well. Ashley, as she mentioned, we've got some great stories and interviews lined up, and it's all about the world of reverse logistics, which couldn't be more important in the modern-day supply chain. But Ashley, we've had a slew of activity in the last couple months, and it's not going to slow down anytime soon, right?
That's right. We are exploding the show. We want to thank all of our followers on social media. We're really growing our Instagram channel. We have our YouTube videos. We have the Apex webinars. And again, you know, Apple Podcasts is an awesome way to get the content because it gives you alerts. And we're increasing followers. I think we're probably approaching about 5-6 million downloads. So our data is always exploding. And we're going to be at live events, broadcasting live.
Absolutely. Unless you have a server farm, I guess it's great to have exploding data. So, but a couple of things we've got coming up here. And Ashley, it's been great to collaborate with you on this Tech Connect series. Supply Chain Now Radio on Monday, February 25th, which is just a couple days from now, we're going to have a brief interview on infrastructure with U.S. Congressman Ferguson of Georgia's 3rd District. Next Wednesday, February 27th, we're going to be broadcasting live from the Georgia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, their new offices, which is now in the same building with the Georgia Chamber of Commerce, which I think is a great move. Big thanks to Albert Sorto for hosting us. Friday, March 1st, we're going to be down at Savannah Technical College in that hot logistics town of Savannah, interviewing some of the movers and makers from local industry there, much, much more. And you can find all of that at supplychainnowradio.com, where we have wonderful co-hosts like Ashley Liebke joining us to interview these folks from across the world of supply chain.
Scott, I just wanted to say, you have really been getting Supply Chain Now Radio out there. It's really becoming more of a regional and national show. And as far as Savannah, that's really exciting because I am seeing so much about Savannah with our connection within Georgia, within our economy growing here. there, that port has become real significant. And I know that you and a lot of the folks you've interviewed have talked about bringing up the next generation of folks to work in this industry. And I'm seeing a lot of activity there around those schools and also the schools in the University of Georgia system. That's exciting.
Absolutely. That's one thing that the state of Georgia really has gotten dialed in on to make it more appealing for companies to come here and invest here and grow their operations here. You got to have the talent. Even in the modern day automation age, you have to have the talent. And speaking of Savannah, you know, they have created that logistics technology corridor, which stretches through a number of counties in and around Savannah. And they have the opportunity, of course, from our last interviews there in Savannah, to really make it a huge logistics tech hub, you know, because we're this freight tech that we're in now, that talk about exploding opportunities. Freight tech is on the move. So we're looking forward to learn more about that on March 1st.
Yeah, it's a real bridge to global, too, because, you know, we're talking about regional infrastructure, but ultimately, I think we are talking about making global connections across the ocean to get more business going back and forth between Europe and Asia. So that's exciting to be really on the cusp of all that activity.
Absolutely. So let's start this episode before we interview Tony Shiroda with the Reverse Logistics Association. We're going to start the episode with how we always do, some of the top things to know in supply chain now. And I've got just one thing on my radar, but Ashley, I want to start with you. What have you been tracking here in the world of supply chain?
Well, you know, there's a lot of niche industries that are looking at their supply chains, and they're really trying to partner and refine and get better solutions around technology. Buy online and pick up in store is kind of a phenomenon over the last decade that has really exploded because customers that we call omnichannel, they like to shop online. Could be businesses that like to shop online. Sometimes they also want to go to a showroom, warehouse, or storeroom shop retail location and actually look at the goods. So being able to look online, see inventory, buy something or actually have it reserved and then go pick it up somewhere is super important. I'm going to be talking about that actually coming up next month, the first week of March at the Atlanta Jewelry Show. I'll be talking about BOPIS, buy online, pick up in store, and how that can help mainstream businesses to sell more jewelry, which is exciting. I don't know how much jewelry gets returned, but it's possible, and we'll be exploring that at that event. And then in April, I'm real excited to be working with Multichannel Merchant Magazine, and I will be speaking at the E-Commerce Operations Summit in Columbus, Ohio, and I'll be speaking with a killer company that I hope to have on the show. Hopefully they're listening. If you're out there, ProShip, I'll be sitting next to a very wise supply chain expert, Justin Kramer, who I've known for a very long time. They provide some great multi-carrier, multimodal tech solutions for lots of different size businesses, and we'll be exploring how you can create better consumer experiences by managing all of the different types of shipping options. Because, you know, people are buying everything online, and some things are 30 feet long, and some things weigh 2,000 pounds, and some things are itty-bitty tiny but worth a lot of money. And so all those little fine details have to be managed, and I'll be exploring that and excited to continue my public speaking tour.
Yep, and I believe WERC, the Warehouse and Education Research Council, has their big annual event, either Columbus or Cleveland this year. I'm not sure which one. We'll get Malcolm and the research team on that to give us a definite answer. But sounds like your schedule's not slowing down. And, of course, right down the road from Columbus, Ohio, is Cleveland. And do you happen to know – I'm giving an answer before I ask a question. Do you happen to know where Case Western Reserve University is?
I would say that's in Ohio.
That's right. Cleveland, Ohio, home of the Browns, home of a variety of teams and great food. But I spent last Saturday, so one of the things I want to share here, top things known in supply chain now, I spent last Saturday learning some of the cool stuff that the next generation of supply chain talent is doing. So I was a volunteer judge for round two of the Association for Supply Chain Management, ASCM, the student case competition. Big thanks to Deloitte for hosting the round. Thank you. And, you know, very generous on Saturday, bringing eight teams of college students in. Their managing director, senior leadership, was there serving as a judge as well. These eight teams faced off on a problem scenario, a fierce, stiff competition, and they were not mailing it in. So hard-fought competition, Case Western Reserve University based in Cleveland, Ohio, came out on top. Big congrats to the team members Julia Welch and Daniela Aguilera. And good luck as they move on to round three, which is going to culminate at ASCM 2019 in Vegas. And we'll see who comes out on top there. So big high five again to the ASCM for engaging these students, right? We got to get folks into the supply chain field. We got to engage them, get them, make sure they know about the jobs and career opportunities and the lucrative opportunities you have in supply chain. So great job to ASCM and APEX for making that happen.
That's right. And I've got the details here. You know, Ohio is really up in an atom with the supply chain industry. The work conference is April 28th through May 1st, and it's also in Columbus, Ohio.
So great job, Malcolm and the research team. Thanks for correcting my errors. There'll be plenty of those as we work through this hour, but a good, great nugget there, Ashley. So let's, anything else on your radar before we move to our esteemed power guests here?
Just that I'm seeing some Made in America type promotions. I love seeing that. I'm an American girl, and I like to see our American economy boosted by more production and export. And the way that we do that is enabling manufacturing. So I have been seeing more Made in America, Made in USA, and just wanted to give a shout out to the good old USA on that one.
Well, you may have caught that Kia commercial during the Super Bowl. That Telluride.
That was a big one.
That
was
a great.
You're seeing it in advertising and media, so maybe there's a content drive. I've always thought Made in America was a good brand, so I hope to see more of that.
In West Point, Georgia, I believe a new Kia, when they're full production, a new Kia rolls off the line every 53 seconds, which is just remarkable. So we all know how big of a driver in the economy, the regional, state, and regional, and for that matter, national economy, that type of production is. But when you put it in those terms, holy cow, that really makes it a lot more tangible. So let's move on to our first guest today here on Supply Chain Now Radio. We have Tony Shiroda, Executive Director of the Reverse Logistics Association. Good afternoon again, Tony.
Oh, good afternoon, Scott.
And speaking of our busy schedules, our schedule pales in comparison to Tony's schedule. I had to fight his team to get him out here today with a crowbar and had to protect it too, put a lock on it. So good to have you here in the studio, Tony.
I'm glad to be here.
So we've been collaborating for a year or two now. We had a great joint event down at what's a really impressive facility at the Home Depot Return Center in McDonough.
Yes.
And we're collaborating on the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards.
Absolutely.
Which has been terrific. Tony and the RLA is going to be co-presenting the Sustainability Excellence Award. So beyond all that, where we've been, you know, our circles have intertwined, our RLA alone has been on a roll. So where are you just getting back from?
Getting back from Las Vegas, where we had our annual conference, and we had 600 strong attendees this year at the Mirage Hotel, and turned into a very, very strong event.
Fantastic. And we're going to dive into some key takeaways there. But Ashley, we were talking about kind of the role that reverse logistics has in today's modern supply chain and why that's become more important, right?
Yeah, that's one reason we really want to have Tony here, and we're honored to have you. Thank you for coming today. We know your schedule's super busy. And reverse logistics is a big concept. There's a lot of different aspects to it. So in this show, we're focused on reverse logistics and returns. And we'll just start with Tony talking a little bit about, you know, what are the different aspects of reverse logistics? What type of, for those that are kind of new to supply chain, how do you define reverse logistics, and where is it going? What are the current trends that you're seeing?
Ashley, that's a great place to start, because a lot of people still look at you twice when you say the term reverse logistics. Mm. If you add the term returns, that helps, but it doesn't always solve it. But basically, in our world, reverse logistics is everything that happens after the point of sale, everything. Whether they take it home and they have trouble opening up the package and they call the call center, whether they have trouble getting rid of the packaging, bringing it back to the store is probably considered the first point of the returns world, the reverse world. The store has to make a decision what to do with it. It goes somewhere. A lot of people don't understand that the back room of Walmart, these things go somewhere, and they have to go somewhere and be dispositioned and dealt with. So there's the carriers who move those products. There's the facilities where these products go, and they go there as lemons, and they hopefully come out as lemonade. And as they come out of that returns processing center, 80 to 90% of them are usually no fault found. There's no technical failure. There's nothing wrong with these products. So they can enter life into the secondary market. The secondary market is becoming huge. And in fact, the last couple years, although retail space has declined for primary retailers, the retail space for the secondary world has been growing, not by leaps and bounds, but it's been significantly growing because they're absorbing this massive amount of return goods. So chains like the Big Lots stores and Ollie's Bargain Outlets and Bargain Hunt stores, they're all growing. The dirt cheap stores, the dollar stores, they're all continuing to grow because they've got this growing supply of product that they can merchandise in their stores. So those are the three aspects. What happens when it comes back? Where does it go and how is it dealt with? And then how does it re-enter the marketplace?
So let me ask you a question, Tony, because we did a joint webinar about a year or so ago, and you shared a variety of metrics and statistics around reverse logistics in that space. And I'm sure even folks in supply chain may not know, but you broke down and you talked about the modern e-commerce age and how if we're going to make it easy for folks to return things, they're going to return things. So talk to us about the breakdown between the digital returns and store returns.
Well, the numbers are dramatic. Although the e-commerce world, everyone thinks that Amazon and others rule the world, there's still only about 10% of the U.S. retail economy. Mm. If we take the numbers that are bound to about, say, a $5.8 trillion in retail sales, that's still means only a small percentage of that is e-commerce. However, in the brick and mortar world, returns represent 7 to 9% of sales. In the e-commerce world, the rate is 3 to 4 times that number, Which means there's a lot more product coming back. In fact, we've produced a chart, it's available on our site, that shows the tipping point will be around the year 2022, where the value of returns from e-commerce will exceed the returns from the brick and mortar stores and accelerate from there. Even though it's still a small piece of the retail environment, returns from e-commerce are accelerating and growing faster. And again, it's 25 to 50% return rates, encouraged by the e-tail online companies that use the returns policy as a sledgehammer to gain more customers. Free returns, hassle-free, anytime you want, and buy as many as you want.
So your organization is how old now? When was it founded?
The RLA was founded in the year 2003, and in 2004 was the first conference, so there's been about 15 years of history with RLA.
So you all have been able to really see the internet and the digitized supply chain and all of the impacts from everything going from this kind of omni-channel into a unified commerce era. What we see is that everything that hit the direct consumer type businesses, the retailers, many of them in the retail graveyard now, their shops that are, you know, the toys all went to Ollie's, right? But, you know, these companies have had to really evolve and adapt. And I know in my early days of my career, when I was a young manager at UPS, a lot of times the businesses that we talked to, it was an afterthought. Returns was we'll just sell it and ship it and we'll figure it out if they return it later. And so tell us a little bit about what your organization has learned from having members and seeing this digitized adaptation requirement.
Well, to give a sense of the RLA, the members consist of retailers and manufacturers who really are the ones with the issues. They have to either take them back and do something with them, liquidate them in some fashion, hopefully sustainable fashion and good fashion. But there's also the third-party solutions partners who are the liquidators, who are the companies arising from the need to move all of these goods. So what's happened in the last 15 years, of course, is the e-commerce effect that's driving the numbers. But there's another factor, too, which is called the IoT effect, IoT being the Internet of Things. And nowadays, everything is becoming Wi-Fi enabled and Internet ready. and you're wearing clothes that are supposed to talk to your watch. For example, your shoes might tell your smartwatch how many steps you've taken that day. And the watch tells your computer, because you're running a health program, and the health program is tied to your doctor's office. So now your doctor knows how many steps you're doing a day. And don't think twice that privacy exists anymore. It does not.
Yeah, no, Microsoft already read all our messages, and they know what I was going to say next.
My watch told me this morning my socks didn't match my pants. So they're getting way too smart with this IoT effect, honey.
And your refrigerator is about to tell you that you run out of milk and pick some up on the way home. It is out of hand.
Yep.
And unfortunately, in the IoT world, there's over 300 standards. Think about that. I just gave you an example of several products that need to talk
to
each
other. You mean rules?
Standards, yes, rules. And we've seen this before. History does repeat itself. In the days of MP3 players around the 90s, they did not talk nice to each other. Mm. And so if you used iTunes, you couldn't use Napster, you couldn't use Windows Media, and you thought something was wrong with the device, but it was simply a compatibility issue. And that's what's going to happen more and more with the IoT standards, that people bring products back because they don't talk to each other, but there's nothing wrong with the product.
Well, it's sort of intentional. I just brought up as a side note yesterday how Google Sheets and Microsoft Excel just can't get along. And I don't know what their problem is, but you'd think by now they'd have that one worked out. I think somebody's got their finger on a button somewhere.
Well, we have a series for that. Supply chain conspiracies. We'll kick it off
the
next
week. The digital
gangsters. Yes, there we go. So, Tony, you mentioned earlier, and our other guest today, Jim Brill, y'all both were at the Reverse Logistics Association conference in Las Vegas, and we'll get Jim to weigh in here momentarily. But what were some of your key takeaways? I know y'all, this is an annual show, and you do plenty beyond this, but what were some key takeaways from that show this year?
Well, the annual show is our flagship here in North America, and we did have over 600 attendees this year who got to listen to presentations from the stage that I'm very proud to say are information and education driven, not advertising. Mm. We don't have any companies getting up there talking about how they've built a better mousetrap. We have companies up there addressing the issues of the industry. So we kick it off with some strong keynote speakers who talk about what's coming up for the next year, what we can expect in increasing return rates. We had Kate Vitasek, one of our keynotes, who talked about the Vested program and how important that is to manufacturers and retailers to partner up with their outsourced partners so that they can create win-win situations. So those are some of the key takeaways, but also we had a panel on apparel because the apparel industry is experiencing incredibly high return rates. And the panel was talking about addressing intentional returns. How do you fix that? We also had a recognition and a panel focused on venture capital, equity investment into the secondary market. Mm. So the venture capital's capitalists of the world, Wall Street, is putting some money into the secondary market industry. Companies like Optoro and B-Stock are seeing huge amounts of investment. In fact, Optoro's had support from UPS getting involved in it financially. Mm. So there's these companies that are looking for places to put the money because they can see the continued growth. Mm. So
there's some underlying economic value sitting around. So that industry is kind of spurns off a new angle.
Absolutely, Ashley. And so those are key takeaways. We also had an important takeaway from the cellular industry, which, to give you a sense of the size of that, there will be 180 million used phones processed this year into the secondary market. 180 million of them. And CTIA has developed a grading process so that you can identify if it's an A, B, or C grade product. I think that's important for consumers that have to be careful about, are you buying something that's secondary, but you expect it to look good, or do you know it's going to have scratches and you're going to pay less for it?
Mm. Very interesting.
Yeah, really interesting. And going back to you started off talking about apparel industry.
Yes.
And then tying that to your IoT perspectives. We covered this months ago, Ashley, on this show, how L.L. Bean was weaving sensors into its coats and its boots to gather usage data from its customers. And I guess they're making that public. So if you buy one, you're participating in the study, whether you like it or not. But that is fascinating, right?
It's fascinating and frightening at the same time because it's data collection. Mm. And now there's companies, you know, that are trying to rule the world with data. And they're not actually doing anything except happening to collect the data. And I think we're going to discover more and more companies like L.L. Bean who are doing this without us knowing about it. Now, there's two aspects of that. Part of the aspect is if they implant RFID chips that help identify this is a legitimate product, when was it sold, where was it sold. That's helpful information.
Right.
But to track your footsteps and what stores you're going into and everything else, that's to me a violation of privacy, but we've all accepted it.
Well, wow. Many things come in the form of quote-unquote protection, and we have to decipher and discern when it's more of a big brother. I'm glad that our Congress is looking very closely at this right now. It is concerning.
And one other thing you shared so much, and he sound bites, Tony. I'm a little bit slow, so I'm catching up with you. The 180 million used phones. There's a whole industry that this has kicked off. I want to say it's ITAD. And it seems like they have a big presence here in the metro Atlanta area, some of these returns processing facilities, right?
Less in the Atlanta area for cellular than in the Dallas area because Dallas operates as a strong hub where UPS and FedEx shipments can go in and out frequently, long hours, and it can process so it can be processed overnight and back to a consumer. So Dallas has become the real hub for that, Verizon and AT&T, and they probably process a million phones a month alone at each of these facilities that I've been to. Atlanta's a hub, more of a logistics center for accumulating returns, like the Home Depot facility that's nearby, and Walmart has a facility in this, and they process the returns there. But the actual hub for dispositioning, especially cellular phones, tends to be more in the Midwest, Memphis and Dallas areas because of that convenience factor and the efficiency factor.
I was curious about the international aspects because as e-commerce goes a little bit more global, you're seeing definitely a lot more trade between U.S., Europe, and different demand for American products. How are you seeing that people are dealing with the global challenges and what kind of issues that they face there if they try to sell abroad?
That is a challenge, and many of our companies on our board, for example, the Dells and HPs of the world, they are global companies, but they take great pains to bring the product back to their own facilities so that they control where it goes next. However, clothing manufacturers tend to accumulate it here in North America and ship it all over the world. Literally, or in some cases, unfortunately, they burn the products. They burn clothing, and that's been an ugly secret that's come out in the last year. But global products don't work on the electronic side as much, of course, because of the voltage factors and things like that. Cell phones, however, can be used anywhere in the world to some degree.
So we need to have you back so we can have you for a full hour. The reverse logistics space, there's so much, especially when you start pulling the layers of the onion back. It's not just about returns. There's so many different facets, although returns obviously is a big part of it. Tony, how can our listeners learn more about the Reverse Logistics Association?
Well, Scott, any of your listeners, it's fairly easy to reach us through the website, which is rla.org, rla.org. You can register as a member of the community for free. Mm-hmm. There's no charge to register as a member of the community. Member companies, such as the Dells, UPSs of the world, everyone in those companies is automatically a member if you've got that email address at ups.com, et cetera. So anyone can go onto the website. We have a lot of information available as a public viewing, and then there's some information that's members only and so on, but it lists our members. Our magazines are there. You can subscribe to our newsletter on that site. Newsletter comes out 3 times a week, very short informational articles. So those are various ways. I thank you for asking because we're growing that community
left and right.
Yes.
Left and right.
Other than your annual event, what other kind of events do you all get involved in throughout the year?
The last couple of years, my focus on one-day seminars, Ashley, has been like in Nashville. We had a one-day seminar, including a tour of the Dell Return Center, where 1 million computers a month go through. So we did that. We did the Home Depot one because it was a recycling one-day seminar. This year, we are planning to be at the Best Buy new reverse logistics center in California, the Chino, Ontario, California area. We will be in Washington, D.C. in September with a postal tour. We'll have a recycling facility tour in August again. So we're trying to do these events, a one-day event tied in with a tour, facility tour. And we'll also go to Amsterdam. I will personally be traveling to Asia, participating in seminars. So we are trying to continue to be that global voice of this industry.
Fantastic. Big thanks to Tony Shirota with the Reverse Logistics Association for joining us today. One of our big sponsors, Apex Atlanta, is a huge fan of the RLA with the joint events. And we'll have some more news related to professional development down the road to talk about. But big thanks to our friends at RLA, and definitely check them out at rla.org. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You bet. Great segment there. And don't go anywhere just yet. We're going to get you to weigh in here shortly. But Ashley, let's talk about the second big get for the show today, Mr. Jim Brill, marketing manager for the
UPS Returns portfolio.
Thank you very much.
Global portfolio. Welcome, Jim. It's great to see you again.
Well put. Thanks for having me. This is great.
It only took me like 6 months to get you here. You're an esteemed guest. We're very excited because you are really the expert. UPS is kind of the top dog in returns, right? Mm. You guys own the market.
That's correct. We're the carrier of choice, as we like to say, and that bears out in the volume, just the sheer number of packages that are returned through UPS. And, you know, we assist those merchants, those shippers every day with unfortunately returned merchandise coming back to them. And we do that in a pretty safe and effective way at a pretty good price. So,
well, full disclosure, I did have the great pleasure to work with Jim when I did some tenure at UPS when I was a marketing manager myself. And I would often go visit Jim in the new product development area and really try to delve into, you know, what's going on with returns and why is this so important? And we're going to go into a couple things. They used to call it the money pit because, you know, companies would get their returns back and it would just sort of sit in a big pile or in the corner. It was like Christmas Day and just became something you couldn't ignore. It was too expensive. So, you know, we just finished Christmas here. And of course, after Christmas, people return. And
nothing fits, wrong colors, wrong teams.
There's more shopping. And so we wanted to find out from Jim really what happened with this year's peak and what's going on with the return, you know, post-Christmas returns.
Sure. Well, as everybody knows, the holiday, as we call it, at UPS peak happens with just this huge escalation of the shipping volume leading up to, you know, through Thanksgiving and then on into the Christmas holiday season, the gift-giving season. So,
which they keep making earlier and earlier. It's going to be like starting in spring next year.
Yeah. And with that, an outcome is an escalation in returns. And one of the unique things that's happened here over the past couple of years is that those volumes are being pushed backwards, and the outcome there is because of the shopping holidays, if you will, the Black Fridays,
Cyber Mondays.
The Green Wednesday, or the shipping too. There's a whole host of them, and they seem to be getting pushed earlier and earlier. And one of the things that we've done over the past 5-6 years is we've called a national holiday, National Returns Day.
They should have called it National Jim Brill Returns Day.
Well, I like that.
I don't know about that.
T-shirt idea.
But it's kind of a fun, we picked it holiday. And it's to highlight the fact that, yeah, there is this peak, if you will, of returns activity. For those of us in the logistics industry, we look for those peaks and valleys throughout the year. But here's a pretty interesting phenomena. And this year we called National Returns Day, which was traditionally that first, maybe second week of January. Mm-hmm. Kind of think through that. It's always the gift giving, and then you sit on it for a week between Christmas and New Year's, and then you send it back. We called it this year that it was going to happen actually before Christmas.
Wow.
A lot of eyebrows went up on that one. We had a lot of questions about it, but the trend is that the peak of returns is actually twofold this year. One peak happened before Christmas, and that's the outcome of all the different shopping days. And we see coupons for Black Friday deals 2 weeks before Black Friday.
Right.
And lots of specials, lots of web campaigns happening well before even Thanksgiving. So a lot of those purchases are done before Thanksgiving, and then you open the box, find it's not what you wanted or it doesn't fit or whatever the issue is, and then you make those returns prior to Christmas. Probably the outcome there is you're shopping for yourself as well as for gifts.
Getting the deals. Yeah. Actually, the data showed that. I'm shopping for myself because I get 70% off.
That's so we estimated, and it did come true this year, the peak returns week actually was before Thanksgiving.
Wow,
just
that's
to let
amazing.
You know, there was over 8 million returns given to us that week alone.
Wow.
So that was huge growth just for that 1 week. Mm. And then subsequently, there's another peak right after Christmas, like we've always traditionally had. And that was, again, an additional 5 million returns given to UPS, shipped through UPS that first week of January. But that's a short week. That's only a three-day week. So in that short period of time, you just see this escalation of not only shipping volume, but then the outcoming returns just go through the roof as well. So we have a great holiday.
That's
National
awesome.
Returns Day.
You guys have to do a lot of pre-planning and data analysis just to kind of wrap your heads around having the network to support all of that. And it's changing every year. How do you guys deal with that?
I think we start right after the holidays are over with this then upcoming peak.
You mean Valentine's Day?
yeah. But they begin planning out peak operations, peak personnel, everything involved with making sure we have a smooth peak operation. And including, you know, they do factor in the returns volume because it does elevate quite dramatically there for a couple weeks. So what's driving that, you would ask? Is most likely what we just discussed, which is
you fit right in, Jim. Yeah. I love this.
It's the escalation of e-commerce is squarely driving that. I read actually an article yesterday, Business Insider had some stats or projections that e-commerce is going to grow 14% between now and 2020. Mm. And with that, they also projected a 19% growth rate for returns. So it's outpacing even the e-commerce growth rate.
Yep.
And that is an outcome of the fact, and I think Tony touched on it quite nicely, which is when you order something online, you're kind of trusting that image, that photograph, and maybe some description, some comments. Mm. But the truth is when you open the box and you try on the garment or you put the accessory on or the shoes don't fit, or there are a lot of reasons why returns happen. And the truth is right there when you open the box and the living room or the bedroom is your dressing room,
right?
And it doesn't work out, so you have to send it back.
Well, you know, so you were talking about the growth of e-commerce, and we've been tracking that number. The Georgia Logistics Snapshot, which is put out by the Georgia Centers of Innovation for Logistics, a great monthly metric that also tracks this. But you know, the upcoming big event they're having, the Georgia Logistics Summit, which is going to take place March 14th, is focused on the inland port strategy, which of course one of the big drivers is e-commerce. So, but it seems to be, you know, working out well here with that first inland port up the 75 corridor, so much that they're going to open up a second inland port in Gainesville, which I believe is slated to open in 2021. So no rest for the weary.
Yeah, I think we're seeing a lot of 3PLs opening warehouses and specific businesses, as Tony was saying. What kind of trends are you seeing there with your partners or different entities within UPS? How are they going to handle that stuff coming back into a building? Mm.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a lot of trends around returns in general. How do merchants manage returns? How do they gather data on returns? Tony touched on that quite nicely. The RLA conference brings in speakers and panels that talk directly about these topics because it is, unfortunately, a very complex and sometimes not real clean logistics chain. There's a lot of focus. What I've noticed over the past couple, 2-3 years, some of the focus is really being put on the front-end experience. And a lot is made of retailers and merchants really have to have beyond their game for the returns policy part of the show as well as the returns process part of the show. And so we see a lot of focus being on that front-end experience. The policies need to be clearly written, accessible,
Like and if you then, buy something online, can yeah. you, it used to be you could only return it online, but consumers are really kind of driving the right. the need. They are very demanding.
Very demanding, yes. And if you think about it, when you open the box and it doesn't work out and you have to make a return, that's a negative situation. And so you as the retailer, you don't want to exacerbate that by having a tough policy mm-hmm. or a bad return
like return in 3 days.
Well,
no, yeah. you see, retailers are vying for attention with the return policy, right. making it extremely liberal mm, or right. it's not.
And you got to so make those pesky consumers happy, right?
If you want to win them and that's keep right. them sometimes, yeah.
So on the converse of that, you see actions like by Walmart. They have an app where you can check in your return, and then they have an express lane in their customer service aisle at their stores where you can zoom right past the people with other business at the customer service counter, you zoom right past to make your return. Amazon's doing a lot with lockers. They have a relationship with Kohl's where you can bring your Amazon return into Kohl's and get your refund done and then continue shopping. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice win-win for not only Amazon but the Kohl's operation. For UPS, for our part of it, we're expanding our access points network. You might ask,
what is an access point?
what a great question, Ashley. So, yes, this is our overall retail access network where you can bring your return. So it consists of all the drop boxes, the UPS stores, our alliance partners, maybe some of the independent pack and ship stores out there. You name it, we've got a really nice network. You're within 5-10 miles of a UPS access point at any one given time. So
I'm a big fan of the UPS access point network, actually. When you travel for trade shows and different things, if you've ever tried to ship a package to a hotel, it's an absolute nightmare
gracious.
Because they're the least trained in package delivery protocols and track. You know, they just don't have the technology to manage. So it's really awesome to be able to get things to a trade show or what have you. Even let's say you're going on vacation and you need your sporting equipment. You don't want to take it on the airplane and TSA is kind of a pain. So, you know, you got to get your stuff there for your trip and you got to get it back. And I've been a frequent user of it. And so I love going to UPS.com. You can look up the access point network. And, you know, I was looking in New York and there's some fun little places, like there's a spy shop up there in Brooklyn that you can get your package delivery if you want to get some high tech, you know, spying devices.
Hey,
but
this is a Tech Connect series. We're giving you insiders information.
But all kinds of retail enablement. I love how retail partners are doing those type of things. It drives me to think that, you know, there's real estate and design planogram people that are having to really work around returns because they have to find specific areas of the store that it becomes convenient, but they got to get you deep enough in the store that you're going to find something to buy, right?
Tactics, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Strategy.
Well, retailers, yeah, they're promoting omnichannel where they can. If they do have brick and mortar, they would love for you to certainly buy online. And, yeah, you could return it. By shipping it back, they would rather have you walk in
and go to the store.
Make your return at the store because, yeah, just what you mentioned there, you're more apt to not only make your return, have a nice experience, get your refund or a store credit right then and there, you're going to turn around and start shopping again. So,
and Gartner and Forrester say all the data says the omnichannel shopper is golden. They are the ones that spend the most money per capita. They're the most loyal. They keep repeating business, but they spend more in the cart or in the store when they shop through more than one channel. That's super important.
You're validating. So we had Donovan True with a senior supply chain leader with REI based on the West Coast for a webinar not too long ago. And exactly what you shared there, because they have really become one of the leaders in omni-channel strategy. And that was one of our most well-received webinars after Tony's. Tony's the first, of course. But it's interesting. But you preach exactly what he shared. You know,
if you want to grow, you find ways to delight that consumer through every channel. And that's why they're going from omni-channel. Now we call it unified commerce.
Unified commerce.
Well, since this is a tech forum.
Yes.
Another thing I'd like to mention.
Tech Connect.
That's right.
Another thing I'd like to mention, something UPS has launched here recently, is the label-less return experience.
Ooh, cool.
So, yeah.
You were working on that for a while, huh?
In this day and age, a lot of folks are on the move. Their smartphones rule the day. And a lot of times they don't necessarily have a printer or they're not close to a printer. So We have a platform called UPS Returns Manager, and through there, if you need to make a return, you track your package, click the button that says return this package, and you're presented with three options: print it now, email it somewhere else, or you can get a mobile code. Mm. And so on your smartphone, you have a code that's delivered to your phone, and you just march your return package in on your smartphone, and the UPS store will then print your label for you. So pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome. We've been waiting for that one for a real long time. It beats the crayon idea that it got tossed around a few times about drawing a certain type of picture and then you get a label if it scans right or anyway. But, you know, how do customers, what's the process to try to get something like that up and running? They just come and talk to you guys or what do they do?
Yeah. Go through your UPS account manager. They have access to all the the particulars about UPS Returns Manager. In this case, it's a UPS.com platform. We don't even charge for the installation.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
I think everybody should really check that out. That's a game changer right there. I mean, if you're a retailer and you could say, hey, if you need to return this, we'll just text you a code. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much easier could it be? You talked about the first 100 feet. That's about a 0-foot connection right there.
Well, that's what I meant by the focus is really on that front end experience. That's where a lot of activity has been placed, even postal returns, postal access. I received it via UPS, but I'd love to put it in my mailbox. Why do I even have to leave my house? Some people are like that. So you can use a label provided by UPS to make your return through your mailbox or bring it to the post office for that matter. And that's what I mean by a lot of the focus seems to be on that first mile of the return process. It's really down to the first couple hundred feet, 100 feet, if you will.
What else are you seeing? You're talking about a little bit. We talked about something called disposition, and Tony mentioned that. And how do you guys see this thing of disposition? What is that?
Yeah, so focus also is being put on the back end of the whole reverse logistics process. And RLA is a great conference where you learn about the actual providers and their capabilities for once you get it back, what are you going to do with it? And if I can coin an acronym here.
Please do. On Supply Chain Now Radio.
Everybody's drum roll. Everybody is familiar with EVA, Economic Value Added.
Yes.
This would be more in the realm of EVR, Economic Value Recovered.
Mm, like
and,
it.
Oh, hey. And so I'll use a company Tony mentioned, Optoro. We are in alliance with them, and they provide a great platform. So you do have returns coming at you as a merchant. You have to get them back. You have to go through a triage process, which is unpack it, determine what condition it's in. Do we have to rework it, repack it? What are we going to do with it to get it to a resaleable condition? Optoro has a wonderful platform. And what that does is it helps you, once you plug your business rules in there, make determinations about the condition it's in. What do you want to do with it? Do you want to send it back to the vendor for credit? Do you want to donate it? Do you want to trash it? Or do you want to put it up on a secondary market, maybe website or marketplace? And they've had some really great success with improving that EVR, if you will. The goal there is to maximize the value recovered from those returning assets. A lot of times you can't get full value. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes back.
We got some late breaking news from Malcolm and the news team, so stand by 1 second.
Right.
Just a little technical glitch here. Jim, go right ahead.
But that's what the Optoro platform and others out there do, is help you make better business decisions and get more back in the recovery of economic value from those returning goods.
EVR.
I kind of just made that up. But
I love
we'll take it.
It.
I think it works. Love it.
I think it works.
I have an acronym I just want to share. I don't like BOPIS. I think it sounds silly. And buy online, pick up in store. Store-based omnichannel shipping and returns. SOSAR.
I like it. SOSAR. We're going to, you know what? When supply chain folks get together, that's what we do. We talk about acronyms, right? New acronyms.
Especially
we can't
when
have
we
enough.
Got UPS.
That's right. Yeah, that's
got
right.
A whole dictionary. Yeah.
Well, again, with both these guests, there's so much content to dive back in. Jim, we'd love to have you back on. Jim Brill with UPS. Reverse logistics is where it's at. If you are early in your supply chain career, if you're in school still, for that matter, if you're a mid-career, senior career, and you're looking kind of for a redirection, get to know the reverse logistics space because it's not going away. It has trained us consumers to continue our bad behaviors, and I'm kind of kidding, but our convenient behaviors, right?
Well, demands depending on how convenient you make it, but hopefully you're buying good things and – you know, not abusing the system.
That's right. Yeah. And in fact, we could barely bring Tony Shiroda in on that, but for the next episode. But big thanks to Jim Brill, Marketing Manager, Reverse Logistics with the U.S. Product Management Corporate Marketing Team at UPS. I got it right that
time. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Jim.
You're welcome.
So, Ashley, this is kind of an expedited series, which is probably not a bad theme to go with here on Tech Connect. You've got some travel coming up. In fact, just getting you in their studio has been pretty challenging, and we've got no shortage of events coming up. I want to give a sneak peek of a couple things, but I don't want to steal any of your thunder. Anything, any big event coming up?
My thunder is going to be up in the sky because the weather's really bad today, but I'll be heading out west to Louisiana. I'm hoping to talk to Tony Chacharet's spice company about how we can move more spices. And I just wanted to say you all can follow my activities on my Vision Media Group LLC LinkedIn company page. I've got some great info going out there about all the great media and marketing and shipping and supply chain activities we're helping businesses with. So
definitely. And of course, you can also check out Ashley and engage with what she's doing from a couple upcoming conferences, including the
Atlanta Jewelry Show, okay. AtlantaJewelryShow.com. It'll be at the Galleria.
Yep.
And also the E-Commerce Operations Summit in Columbus, Ohio.
Yep. And if you can't find information on that, shoot us an email, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at SupplyChainNowRadio.com. We'll make sure to get you plugged in with Ashley and or any of these events you hear about this afternoon. With that said, I do want to give a couple of quick announcements. The Atlanta Supply Chain Awards, March 12th at the Buckhead Club in Atlanta. Nominations are over. We have our winners. Communication to those winners. I've been threatened with bodily harm if I release any of that information. But on a serious note, I want to big thank, again, the Reverse Logistics Association for being a presenting sponsor for one of the awards and a great partner of the event. And we didn't mention, Ashley, UPS came on as a host sponsor in the first year of the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards. So big thanks to Jim and the massive army of UPSers that really made this first year award show such a huge shot in the arm. So industry's really come together to help us celebrate end-to-end supply chain and raise sponsorships.
Are there tickets still available to that?
Absolutely. It's going to sell out because between seats for nominees and winners and some of our judges and sponsors, it's a 200-person auditorium. We kind of had to bet small because we weren't sure how the market would respond. Well, the market has responded. So next year we'll go bigger. But, yeah, get your seats at AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com. And thanks to RLA and UPS for helping us make that happen, in addition to all of our sponsors. The Georgia Logistics Summit, we talked about that March 14th. That week is going to be Georgia Supply Chain Week. You can learn more about that annual event, which is in its 11th year, at GALogisticsSummit.com. Matt Markham and the whole team at the Georgia Innovation Center of Innovation for Logistics team does a great job with that. It's going to be in Cartersville this year, and it's going to be all about the inland ports. What you may not know about is the Association for Manufacturing Excellence, AME, is holding its Atlanta 2019 Lean Summit here, guess what, in Atlanta. Great speakers, best practice sharing, networking, all focused on the world of manufacturing, which I know UPS does a ton of support and business with. The program includes at least a dozen plant tours of neat operations from Caterpillar, Ingersoll Rand, ZF, which is doing a lot of neat green energy stuff, manufacturing, Fiber Visions, and much more. We're excited to serve as a media partner. You can learn more at AME.org. And finally, before we thank everybody, EFT, the Eye for Transport, which is based, I believe, in London, is bringing its 3PL and Supply Chain Summit to Atlanta June 10th through the 12th. Home run lineup of speakers, including a senior UPS speaker, which I should know off the top of my head, but I don't. But this is a home run, big leagues. We've got folks from UPS, Land O'Lakes, Cisco, you name it. Tony Shiroda with the RLA is going to be speaking at this summit. As we said, it's all the heavy hitters. Of course, Tony's going to be there. Send us a note if you can't find it, and I'm sure you can, but if you can't find it, send us a note to Scott at SupplyChainNowRadio.com. We'll get you the info. Again, we're pleased to be a media partner. We hope to be broadcasting live there. We're not sure yet. We're going to bring in the A-team to check on that, but we'll be there and collecting takeaways and engaging with the supply chain movers and makers. Ashley, that is a lot. It is a lot just to talk about all that, much less participate in it. But big thanks to our guest today, Tony Shiroda, with the who serves as the executive director of the Reverse Logistics Association. You can check them out at rla.org, register for free, and get plugged into their programming. Jim Brill, again, with UPS. Jim, what's the best way if folks have a question or they want to engage and you know, tap into your expertise in reverse logistics? How can folks plug in with you?
Sure. We have certainly a lot of content up on UPS.com. That's a good starting point. If you need to talk to somebody, I would encourage you to go with your account executive for your local business there. They have a ton of resources at hand, and they can come out and talk to you about all the different offerings that UPS and our services, technologies, and access points have to offer. And keep tuned to this place.
Absolutely.
This is a great forum. So.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you so much, both of you.
Really appreciate that. And I enjoy the stuff coming out of UPS Longitudes, the blog. I mean, that's like a HBR for supply chain. It's really a neat, nicely done blog. So check that out. Ashley, what are we missing before we sign off?
Not much, but it's been a great show. I'm just super excited to continue the hashtag Tech Connect series. You can find a lot of info on our Supply Chain Now LinkedIn page. I want everybody to go follow us there. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're producing more video. It's a great format, and people want to see who's talking. So we're having a lot of fun, and I'm always looking for new guests. I've been getting a lot of interest, and we are seeking some sponsors. So if you really would like to get behind the show as we grow, we have a tremendous number of exploding channels and ways to get the message out. So I'm excited to work with a lot of these businesses. There's so much going on in Atlanta. It is a supply chain city.
Absolutely. Hashtag supply chain city. On behalf of Ashley Libke and the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, Scott Luton, wishing you all a wonderful afternoon. We'll see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio.